Dear Lord, we're thankful for the forgiveness that you have offered to us. Because of your love for us, we too are challenged to forgive all those who have hurt us and those whom we love. Give us the courage to have love in our hearts for every one of them. May we offer our forgiveness to them even as you grant us forgiveness. We thank you for leading us, loving us, even giving up your life so that we might be restored. Help us in the growth process of our spirituality. Increase our own appreciation of who you are, how you love all of humankind, not just us or even those like us. Impress upon us that, like you, we can love those who are very different from ourselves. Because you love all, we ask you to help all of those victims of hunger, racial discrimination, and those victims of tragedies and traumas. Make us more sensitive to you and to one another, more conscious, empathetic, and caring. Forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share. And now please listen to each of our hearts as we silently share our most private and personal needs. And now let's pray together that prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture lesson is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In December of 2015, Lucille Strickland and her four-year-old son, Xavier, were walking on the streets of Detroit headed home. And a pack of dogs that had dug under a fence grabbed Xavier, dragged him back into the yard, and he was killed. The owner of the dogs, at the sentencing hearing, reached out to Lucille and asked for forgiveness. And here is Lucille's response. I understand what you're saying, and I'm willing to forgive you for what your dogs did. Please pray with me. Amazing God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were to ask Lucille the question that we have before us this morning, is it necessary to forgive? You'd get a resounding yes. And I could just end it right there and go sit back down and you would experience one of the shortest sermons you've ever heard. Some of you would applaud. I appreciate that. However, this summer, we're spending a little bit of time and we're going deeper into these questions. And that's where we're going to focus on it from all of the challenges we face, whether it's about suffering or other areas. So, but today is specifically about forgiveness and forgiving. We're looking at it from the standpoint of the Wesleyan quadrilateral. Say that three times real fast. And what that is it's an approach that John Wesley used. We're looking at it from a standpoint of reason, experience, and tradition. And above all, it has to be founded in Scripture. So that's the approach we're going to use. We're going to spend some time in this, and we're going to dig a little deeper and dive into that deep end. But in order to answer the question, is it necessary to forgive, we have to define forgiveness. The Mayo Clinic, in their article, Forgiveness, Letting Go of Grudges and Bitterness, tells us that forgiveness is a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. Letting go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. Now see, it doesn't say that the act is no longer part of your life. It doesn't say that it's all good. The act still happened. But you're focusing on compassion for the one that hurt you. It's understanding, it's empathy, it's all those things that we have to feel inside. And in a lot of ways, this is one time I can say it is about you. This is where forgiveness starts. Now, it's different than condoning or excusing. You know, oh yeah, I didn't really mean to hurt you, so yeah, you don't have to forgive me. Or it was unintentional. So don't excuse it away. It's not pardoning. It's not even reconciliation. Although those are all things that can happen as part of forgiving. You're not saying the other person isn't responsible. That's still there. They've taken action against you, and it hurt. You can't minimize or justify the wrong. What it does do, though, is it brings you peace because you've moved forward and you've taken action. Now, the same article I mentioned from the Mayo Clinic tells us there are health benefits to forgiving. You have lower blood pressure. Your relationships with others are stronger. You have higher self-esteem. I want you to think about the people you know who have a forgiving heart. Does that ring true? Do they seem healthier to you? Are they healthier in their spirit? Something you can't see. But the article tells us there's physical benefits. So if you want a reason using the quadrilateral, there's one for you that you will benefit personally on your health level. So the question is it necessary to forgive? The answer hasn't changed. It's still yes. So as we look at it from a standpoint of experience, if we really want to love, we must learn how to forgive. Mother Teresa. My dad divorced my mom when I was 4 years old. That's bad enough. He left my mom for another woman who he married. Did I harbor resentment? Blame? Oh yeah. It was Trudy's fault that my dad left. And for years, when I'd go over and visit my dad, The interactions with Trudy were perfunctory. I talked to her because I had to talk to her, because I had to visit my dad. And she tried, but I wouldn't forgive her because of what she had done to my family. And then in my 20s, my dad had lent Sue and I some money so we could afford a down payment on our first house. And we made the monthly payments, never missed one. And then came the day, paid my dad off. In fact, we paid him off early. Good stuff. A few days later, in the mail, I get a card from Trudy. And in this card, she tells me how proud she is of me for following through, because she didn't think I could do it. She figured, oh, you loan money to a relative, that's a gift. In the card, though, she didn't stop there. She went further. She talked about how proud she was to have been part of raising me. I'm in my 20s, and all of a sudden a light bulb goes on. I'd been carrying around resentment, distrust, anger. So I did what needed to be done and what should have been done a long time ago. I forgave her. It changed our relationship. Suddenly she wasn't the evil stepmother. She was Trudy. Our relationship grew, and I had the privilege of being there shortly before she died and praying with her. Imagine everyone in this room has an experience like that. Someone who they love, but they can't forgive them for some reason. It's a cliche, but the only one you're hurting is yourself, because you're the one carrying it. She didn't have to accept it. And if you think about it, she didn't even have to know I forgave her. I don't have to tell her. But my behavior changed and hers changed because of that. The other thing is there was no stipulations. There wasn't, I forgive you if, or I'll forgive you when. It was forgiveness. Now last week, let's see how many, if you were here or listened to the sermon online, Pastor Sherry gave us a challenge. And it was to have a political discussion with someone who had a view different than yours. Not going to ask for a show of hands if anybody took that challenge, because I started thinking about it and I said, okay, what's she going to challenge us to do next? Talk to people about religion? Oh, yeah, I know, it's funny, right? But that's because that's what we're supposed to do. But to get into a political discussion with someone. So if you did that, I'm guessing that there may be a need for either one or both parties to offer some forgiveness. Because that's our experience. If you can't forgive and forget, pick one. Robert Brault. I'm letting you think about that for a second. Because if you can forgive, you've moved on. You've reconciled. You're starting to make the change. And if you're like me and you forget, either way, the problem solved. You've addressed it. Mark 11:25 tells us, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It's that last piece I want to take a moment on, your sins. Because what if the person that needs forgiveness and the person that needs to do the forgiving, what if the answer to both those questions is yourself? That you've done something or remember something that you've done that you haven't forgiven yourself for. It starts with you. I want to tell you what I'm not going to tell you, because that's very important. Is it easier to ask for forgiveness than permission? I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about the when. You know, when do you have to forgive? Not going to get into that. I'm not going to talk about being a parent and looking at your child and saying, you tell your sister you're sorry and you mean it. And you accept your brother's apology. Forgive him. Not going to get into that. I'll let you decide your own parenting skills. What I will tell you from a reason perspective is that John Wesley looked at it from three levels of grace. And the middle one is prevenient grace. And what the Wesleyan heritage tells us, and you can look this up on the United Methodist Church website, is that reconciliation, pardon, and restoration are part of our tradition. They're part of who this church is. And we believe that through the work of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And our relationship with God is restored. And see, God's grace is a gift. It's always there. But when you look at justification, we think we have to do something. And we do have to get right with God. But in the end, it's already there, waiting for you. One of the questions I don't have an answer to is there any sin too great for God to forgive? Theologians have been discussing this for centuries. In the Wesleyan belief, and we say it when we recite the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we believe that our sins are forgiven. Through baptism, through Christ's death, our sins are forgiven. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. C.S. Lewis. Because salvation comes through forgiveness. Hope comes through forgiveness. So once again, we ask the question, is it necessary to forgive? Have you figured out the answer yet? It's yes. Scripture. Anyone know how often forgive or forgiveness is mentioned in Scripture? Just say a lot and you'll be right. If you have a Bible app on your device or on your computer, type in the word forgive and search. The first response that comes back is from Genesis. So the first book of the Bible, forgiveness is mentioned. And it's when Joseph forgives his brothers for selling him into slavery. That's where it starts, and it goes from there. It's also mentioned in Matthew 18, 21 through 22, where Peter asks, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? 7 times? Jesus answers, no, 70 times 7. I love this slide. I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Great. Not only do I have to forgive my brother, I have to do math. Forgive, because it's easier than math. Math is hard. Our scripture today is from the letter to the Colossians. Forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. It's part of a bigger passage. Read the whole chapter. In fact, read the whole book. It's not that long of a book. But it's talking about the things that people need to do to change, to be positive, to have positive traits, as opposed to all those wonderful negative traits that we carry around. And it's talking about reconciliation and accepting people for who they are, not trying to make them be something they aren't. We all have weaknesses and faults. We're flawed. Accept them. The Voice Bible takes this scripture and puts it this way. Put up with one another, forgive, put on love. That's how Christ would do it. That's how we're expected to do it. Jesus spoke and acted with forgiveness on a regular and recurring basis, to put it mildly. And there's so much that I'm not going to go through all of them. So get your pens out. I'm going to put a few scriptures up here where Jesus forgave. And it by no means covers all of them. Matthew 9:2. Mark 2:1-5. Luke 7:44-48. Luke 23:34. John 8:2-11. John 2:21-15-19. If you go spend some time in these scriptures, you're going to hear stories and read about Jesus' forgiveness, where a paralyzed man was brought before Jesus, or he was lowered through a roof by his friends. And in both cases, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." You'll read the story about a woman, a sinful woman like all of us, who comes before Jesus and cries, and her tears wash his feet. She dries his feet with her hair, and then she anoints it. Jesus tells her, "Your sins are forgiven." And you'll read about Jesus on the cross, where he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You'll read about Jesus forgiving Peter. He forgives him 3 times because Peter denied Christ 3 times. When we say together the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Don't let those be empty words. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus died for our sins, forgave all of our sins. The little things that happen against us, and most of them are small, we just like to make them bigger, are things that we need to look at. There are going to be times where forgiveness is difficult. I know that. Trust me. We've all lived it. What I'm going to challenge all of us to do this week, and you think last week's challenge was tough, is pray about it. And is there someone in your life who needs to be forgiven? You don't need to go to them. You don't even need to tell them that you did it. But if you can find a way to forgive them, God will smile. Or maybe it is yourself that you need to forgive. How's that go? Cut yourself a break. Look at that. And if there is someone that you do need to talk to and ask for forgiveness, don't be surprised if they look at you like you're nuts because they don't even remember what happened. And it can go the other way as well. If someone did something against you 30 years ago and they don't realize that it hurt you, they may be surprised if you go talk to them. But that's your challenge this week. That's our challenge this week. And actually, it's our challenge every day. Because when we come to the Lord's table in communion, one of the things that we're doing when we do that is reconciling to Christ and to each other. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.